Well, you remember the tragic story that we broke on the Daily Audio Stash about the death of Tim Guerin, the medical marijuana patient in Washington State, who was awaiting a liver transplant for his hepatitis C and was denied the transplant list by the hospital because of his use of medical marijuana. Well, we're joined now by a criminal defense attorney from Seattle, Washington, Douglas Hyatt, who specializes in medical marijuana cases. He was also the lead attorney on this Tim Guerin case. And Douglas, thanks for joining us on the Daily Audio Stash.
Hey, it's great to be here, Russ.
Let's, you know, we told the story of Tim Guerin, but I thought we ought to get some perspective from you on this about the twists and turns and just the crazy Kafka-esque system that we have in place in Washington State with regard to these organ transplants.
Well, you know, Russ, it's turned out to be, you know, a tragedy. It's also turned out to be, you know, a big problem. You know, Tim Guerin's case illustrates to me, you know, how the drug war actually affects people, real people in real situations where you just wouldn't expect it to. Tim was busted back in December for growing medical marijuana, and that started a criminal case. Because of that criminal case, he lost his house and a bunch of other things. That was the kickoff that started him on the downhill slide. He had been seeing a doctor up here who had recommended medical marijuana, which is perfectly appropriate under the state law, and hepatitis C is actually an approved condition, an enumerated approved condition under our state law. So he's using medical marijuana under a doctor's recommendation. Starting in January, because he lost his house and stuff, we knew in January that he was getting sicker and he was going to need a liver transplant. So in January, I started advocating for him, and ran into the first issue was with Harborview Medical Center, where they said they would not put him on the transplant list at all unless he remained free from marijuana for 6 months. So we told Harborview, you know, that we had not been smoking for a while, and that April 1st, you know, would be this 6 months, because that's how we filled out the paperwork. They would not submit his paperwork to get him on the transplant list until April 1st, which was ridiculous, because here in January and February, they're telling us that Mr. Guerin has a 90%, you know, mortality rate if he doesn't get a liver within, you know, a few months. And they're holding him up over this medical marijuana issue, and they're not giving any reason for it. So Tim got sicker because they did a paracentesis at Harborview, which drained some fluid out of his abdominal cavity, and he got sicker. We took him to the University of Washington. At the University of Washington, I met with the social worker and the, you know, some of the doctors, a couple of the doctors that were on the transplant team. The problem was, when we tried to get him on the list at Harborview, they came back and said they wanted him to do 60 days of drug treatment before they would consider putting him on the list. At that point, you know, I exploded, because we're looking at a guy who's got days to live at this point. And, you know, I told the doctor, you know, this is ridiculous. You're, you know, this is a death sentence. And, you know, telling him he's got to go through 60 days of drug treatment in this situation is just Kafka-esque. And, you know, I prevailed upon the doctor to reconsider and to take him back in front of the transplant committee right then. So they did. They put Tim on dialysis and tried to keep him going until the committee could meet again and reconsider things. When they met and reconsidered things, they told him no, you know, again. And I was in the room with them when the doctor told him no, and yes, you're going to die here just within a few days. And again, they wouldn't give us any reason other than, you know, the medical marijuana one. And I had talked with the social worker and other doctors about the fact that there's no credible medical evidence to support that that anything, it would have any impact on a transplant.
Wow, that's just, it's the saddest story to have to tell, but it's one that needs to be told so that we can get some change in these laws and we can get the doctors and the hospitals to recognize that marijuana is a legitimate treatment for a lot of these illnesses and conditions. I think the thing that really, really upset me the most about this story is this isn't like the hospitals were subject to some federal or state law that required them to take them off the list, is it?
No, and in fact, when the reporter that was working on the story started calling around, and I had been told, you know, these are requirements, you know, there may even be federal requirements. Well, when we started to do some of the research on it, we found out that just wasn't true, that these transplant programs have adopted their own requirements, and some of them, you know, verge on basically moral judgments instead of medical criteria. And that's really wrong, in my opinion.
And it's so sad when you consider that a person who's suffering from hepatitis C and is having a problem with a liver failure, all of the other pharmaceutical-type drugs that you might give him for his pain and his suffering would just exacerbate the problem with the liver, whereas the medical marijuana is probably the safest thing for the guy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there were plenty of doctors that I talked to that were just shocked as well, because, you know, there's an increasing body of medical literature that's coming out on Hep C. There's one early study that wasn't really properly done that didn't effectively control for alcohol consumption, and I think just totally missed the boat and scared a lot of people. But the studies that have been coming out, there's a study that came out of Canada and some other studies that are coming out on medical marijuana are very promising, and it's clear that there's no toxic effect from marijuana. I mean, marijuana is one of the most safe substances you're ever going to see, and it certainly isn't hepatotoxic. It's not liver toxic at all. So most of the experts that I talked to couldn't find any reason, any medical reason to be concerned about medical marijuana. They just don't think that it's an issue.
Now let's go back to the genesis of this case. You said that the case started because Mr. Guerin was busted for growing medical marijuana, but did he not have a doctor's recommendation at that time?
And of course he did.
And isn't it legal in Washington State to grow your own medical marijuana?
Absolutely. You know, but the problem that we've got here, you know, Russ, is we've got an initiative that was passed by the people that's very clear, and we've since had some legislative action that's made things better in some respects, more difficult in others. But it's clear that we do have a state law. But what's also very, very clear is that most of the officials, the state officials, the attorney general, the elected prosecutors, those guys that should be doing everything to effectuate the law, they should be doing everything to make sure the voters' wishes are being put into practice, i.e. respecting democracy, that isn't happening. All the prosecutors, law enforcement, the attorney general, they are doing the best they can to undercut the will of the people, to destroy the law, to make it meaningless. They are not following the alternative standards that the legislature gave them, and they are continuing to bust people. Because we have an affirmative defense, they can actually force somebody to go through the whole bust process and then come in and defend themselves. Mm. Well, you know, this case just points out how devastating it is to go through a bust and to have that happen to you when you're a sick person and when you're a patient. And I know the voters in Washington State did not want that. I know they didn't. But unfortunately, that's what we've been getting. And I've been defending pretty much nothing but patients for the last 2-3 years. And it's clear to me that the people that should be working to effectuate this law are instead working to make it a meaningless nullity.
Mm. And that would be an object lesson to other states out there, New Jersey and Minnesota and all these other states that are considering medical marijuana legislation, is that it needs to protect the patients from arrest and prosecution. This affirmative defense situation, like you say, it takes a person, drags them through the system, gets them fingerprinted, gets them a record. This is the worst way to be treating patients.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's completely wrong. And in a certain sense, I don't know if you've heard this statement before, but for criminal defense attorneys, we say it all the time, the process is the punishment. it's like what's occurred in California a lot. They call it a polite robbery. You know, the DEA shows up, takes all your stuff, and nothing ever happens. That's the kind of situation, you know, it's just terrorizing people. And it's clear that you don't want to drag sick people into the criminal justice system. At least it's clear to me. It doesn't appear to be clear to prosecutors who are continuing to not respect the law and drag people in. And I would agree with you 1,000%, Russ. It's terribly important for people in other states to understand that they need arrest protection in the law from the start. They need to keep patients and sick people out of the criminal justice system entirely. And that's a problem with the way our state law is set up, and I would urge other states and other activists to be aware of that and to certainly prevent arrest. Arrest prevention is key.
Well, we know that all the hardworking activists up there who put on the Seattle Hemp Fest, the Seattle Normal People, the Washington Normal People, are all involved in trying to get some common sense reforms to Washington's medical marijuana law. What do you see coming politically up in the statehouse there in Washington? Is there any hope for getting some change in that affirmative defense?
You know, I really don't know about that, Russ. You know, and by the way, speaking of HempFest, I'm absolutely proud to be a lawyer for Seattle HempFest and to be associated with them. They are an absolute amazing group of people, and what they do every year, it's like, you know, akin to putting on Woodstock every year, and they've done it for a number of years in a row now, and I just have the utmost respect for everyone connected with that organization. I suspect you do, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to expect out of the state legislature. We got a bill passed last year that, frankly, I opposed for numerous reasons that may have helped out a little bit, but it created some problems. I think, you know, that there are some state legislators that are interested in fixing this problem, and we're attempting to keep the issue, you know, on the front burner so that we give them, you know, some good reasons to deal with the issue. But I'm just not sure how effective the legislature is going to be. And with the continuing, you know, antipathy and hostility towards the law coming from law enforcement, I'm really thinking that we're going to wind up with some court cases that come down and set some precedents, maybe before we even get the legislative reform we need. But there are some things in the work for 2009, and I'm hopeful. But at the same time, I'm litigating, and I'm going into court on cases all the time, trying to get the courts to construe the initiative in the broadest possible way to protect the broadest number of people. So we've really got like a two-prong, you know, fight right now. And I think that as it becomes clearer to voters that their will is not being respected, it may be time for another initiative as well.
Yes, that's what I was just about to say, is that if we passed one initiative, we can pass another initiative.
Well, we've been absolutely right, Russ. Absolutely right. And we need to remember that. You know, here in the West, I mean, we are blessed with the purest form of democracy, you know, you can have. And it's such a tremendous advantage for us folks out here.
Certainly is. Well, we've been speaking here with Douglas Hyatt, who's a criminal defense attorney specializing in medical marijuana cases in the state of Washington, from Seattle, Washington. Thanks for joining us on the show. And hopefully next time it won't be under such tragic circumstances.
Absolutely, Russ. Thanks a lot for having me.